Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn with me to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 3. If you could and you would and you're able, stand with me in reverence to the reading of God's Word. The Bible said, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." If correctly read, that's the first 9 verses. You may be seated. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Pray with us, please. Father in heaven, we're grateful this morning for the privilege to be here in the house of God. God, I pray that you'd fill my heart and my mind, your precious spirit. Thank you for the study, Lord, of your word. Help us, Lord, to convey the spirit of that study into this service today. I pray, Lord, you'll speak to hearts as only you can. Thank you for coming by, Lord, that Sunday night and visiting with me. Let me know, Lord, that though I was a sinner, there was a Savior that loved me and gave himself for me. I pray, Father, today in this service, Lord, that every child of God would be sensitive to you today. Lord, if there are those here that don't yet know you, Lord, I pray their mind, their heart would be sensitive to the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit today. Lord, we love you, and it's all because you first loved us. Help us, we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I picked up in chapter number 1, on that verse where it said in verse 13, "I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." And then in chapter number 3 and verse number 1, he said, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." You know, there are times when God's people just need to remember some things. And the things that Peter's talking about here will stir us, amen, and stir us up. I think about things. I have a little shop there at the house, and I have an apparatus that a man gave me. And if a gallon of paint sits on the shelf for 6 months or a year, man, if you don't stir it up, you're not going to get a good paint job, amen. But I have this apparatus I can hook an air hose to, and you clamp that can in there. And I mean, it just, as Daddy used to say, shakes a devil out of it. Amen. About, I guess, a minute or two, man, you're ready to paint. Amen. But other than that, you got to take a stick, and you just got to stir and stir and stir and stir. They make things to go in a drill. But God said in these last days, his people, they need to get stirred up about some things. In chapter number 1, we saw that we need to be stirred up about our calling. How many's glad he called you? Amen. Boy, I'm glad I answered the phone, ain't you? Amen. I'm glad that wasn't a spam. Amen. That was the Savior. That was the King of Glory that called me. Amen. And I'm glad that God gave me the grace to swallow my pride and answer that call. And then on Wednesday night, we looked in chapter number 2 at the conflict. A lot of people are getting depressed and downhearted because of what's going on in the world. But if you look at it scripturally, beloved, the conflict ought to excite us. You say, Pastor, the whole world's turning against Israel. God said they would. Amen. And we ought to be excited. It's just telling us the king's on his way. Amen. I thank God for that, don't you? Now today, we're going to be stirred up in our pure minds by way of remembrance as we remember his coming. Honey, Jesus is coming again. Amen. I want to give you 3 things today and just give them to you hurriedly and what God's put on my heart. The first thing I want you to think about is the fact of his coming. Honey, listen, it's a fact. It's a fact. You say, now, Pastor, you can't say that. Let me say this to you. Everything that God said in this book has either already happened or it's going to happen. You can mark it down. Amen. And that's what faith does. Faith turns something that you haven't seen yet into a fact. Amen. In other words, the fact of his coming. I thought this was interesting as I studied biblical scholars. They say the coming of the Lord is mentioned. Let's get this now. 1,845 times in the scripture. Amen. You think about that. 1,845 times God made an announcement in this book. I'm coming. Amen. Jesus is coming again. It outnumbers the references to his first coming 8-1. In other words, about Jesus coming into the world. In the Old Testament, 17 of the 39 books reference the second coming of the Lord. In the New Testament, 23 of the 27 books reference the second coming of the Lord. I appreciate the Lord. He wants us to know something. He's coming. Amen. You know, I got to thinking about this. It's Thanksgiving time. And how many's got folks coming for Thanksgiving? How many's going for Thanksgiving? I mean, that's the way we are. We're either going or coming, ain't we? Amen. Amen. And some don't know the difference. But anyway, you got folks coming. What do? You make preparation. Amen. My wife, the last couple of days, has went through our house from one end to the other, and she's cleaning windows, vacuuming them bugs out of the bottom. I know y'all are so holy, you don't have no bugs in your window. And she's washing the glass on the inside and out, and she went ahead and hung her wreaths up. You know what she's doing? She's getting ready, amen, for 4 children, 11 grandchildren, and a great-grandchild to come for the holidays, amen. She's getting ready for the visitors at the house. And I want you to know we're about to have a visitor, and you better be ready when he comes. You better make preparation, amen, because he is coming. In the first book of Genesis, we're introduced to a man named Enoch. Turn with me to the book of Jude, please. This is not mentioned in the book of Genesis, but God mentions it here in the book of Jude about Enoch. The Bible said in verse 14 of the book of Jude, when you get there, you'll find out what chapter I'm in. But anyway, in verse 14, and Enoch also, the 7th from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them for their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. The Bible talks about the scoffers in the book of Zechariah, the coming of the Lord when he steps out on the Mount of Olives is mentioned. In Revelation chapter number 10, we believe the angel of the Lord there is none other than the Lord Jesus himself when he sets one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. Amen. He's coming. Now, let me give you this. You say, Pastor, you're calling it a fact. That's a little stretch. No, it's not. I want you to see here in chapter number 1 in the book of 2 Peter, verse number 19. The Bible said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Think about this for just a moment, beloved. The Word of God called it a sure word of prophecy. In verse number 4 of chapter number 3, the Bible said, where is the promise of His coming? Well, every child of God ought to just hold their Bible up and say, right there. Right there is where the promise of His coming is. It's in the Bible. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, there's a sure word of prophecy. And then in 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 2, not only is it a sure word of prophecy, the Bible said that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. It's a spoken word of prophecy. God didn't keep it to Himself. He wanted us to know, amen, that He's coming. And the Bible said over in verse number 21 of chapter number 1, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see, today the preacher's not a prophet. Amen. He's a preacher. He's not, beloved, foretelling what's going to happen. He's foretelling what God has already said in His Word. And there is a difference, amen? And so it's settled in the Word of God, the fact of His coming. Now, if that's not good enough, turn with me to Revelation, please, and chapter number 22 for just a moment. Revelation chapter number 22. There's a text here that I want you to see. Not only is it a sure word of prophecy, not only is it a spoken word of prophecy, but don't you get a hold of this. It's the Savior's word of prophecy. Guess what the Bible said about the Savior's word? In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, hath promised to them. Amen. Guess what He can't do? He can't tell a lie. Amen. In Him is truth. Amen. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Look at Revelation chapter 22 with me, please, and verse number 12. Jesus said this, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. In verse number 20, the Bible said, He which testifieth these things saith, if you have a red letter edition, these words are in red, surely I come quickly. So not only do we have a sure word of prophecy and a spoken word of prophecy, but we have the Savior's word of prophecy that points us to the fact that Jesus is coming again. I'll stop right there and ask this question. If He were to come right now, are you ready? Amen. If you come back tonight in the service tonight, we're going to examine the second part of this chapter. But I'm telling you, it's important, beloved, that we're ready for the coming of the Lord, that we can stand before Him with confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His appearing. Are you ready? If Jesus were to come today, are you ready? So I see in the text in Peter, in 2 Peter chapter number 3, I see the fact of His coming. The second thing I want you to look at for just a moment, and I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but it's necessary. I want you to see the fools at His coming. One guy said one day, he told a man, he said, I'm an atheist. He said, God thought so much of you, He put a verse of Scripture in the Bible. He said, really? He said, yeah. He said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God put a verse of Scripture in there in your honor. Amen. But there'll be fools at His coming. Let me say this to you before I go any further. The night I was saved by the grace of God, I was overcome by many emotions. But one of them, I felt foolish. I'm serious as a heart attack. It was so good to be forgiven. It was so good to have that mess cleaned up in my life. It was so good to know I could lay down and go to sleep at night. And if I didn't wake up in the morning, I'd wake up in a better place. You say, why did you feel foolish? I felt foolish because I was in this world 27 years before I come to know Jesus as my Savior. You see, beloved, listen, I believe with all of my heart that I was overcome thinking, this is so good. Why did I wait so long? Amen. Is there a witness in the house that would say, knowing Jesus, it's so good to know the Lord. It's so good to be forgiven. The fools at His coming. Who are they, Pastor? Well, the Bible said here, these are men that have a disregard for God's man. Look in verse number 3. Knowing this first, that there shall be scoffers that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. You see, the Bible speaks of a man by the name of Noah. If you look over here with me, beloved, the Bible said in verse number 5 of chapter 2, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood of the world upon the ungodly." Well, I could stop and ask this question. There's scripture that tells us that Jesus was born of a virgin. Scripture that tells us he lived a sinless life. There's scriptures that tells us that he died on an old rugged cross for our sin according to the scripture. There's scripture that tells us the third day he rose again according to the scripture. You say, "Pastor, what's that got to do with anything?" Listen to me carefully. Beloved, if you don't believe that there was a time when God destroyed this world with a flood, and there was only eight, Noah and Mrs. Noah and their three boys and their wives, that's the only ones that survived. In other words, beloved, listen, why would a person even believe in Jesus if you don't believe, beloved, what the Bible said right here? Well, guess what God is saying to us? The fools are the scoffers. They're the ones that came by as Noah was building that boat saying, "Hey, do you understand you're preaching that it's going to rain? What is that? We've never seen rain. You're saying the world..." Well, man, you've lost your mind, amen. I believe they scoffed. I believe they made fun. But I'll tell you what I believe. I believe when the pitter-patter started falling on the huts, I believe the scoffing was over. I believe children were saying stuff like this, "Daddy, I thought you said he was a fool. I thought you said that there was never going to rain. There ain't no such thing as rain." See, up until that time, God watered the earth, if you read your Bible, with a mist that came up from the earth. It didn't come down out of the clouds the way it does now. Amen. I'm just telling you that in Noah's day, there were scoffers. And in our day, there's scoffers. The Bible said in the last time, they say, "Where is the promise of His coming?" Because everything's continuing just like it did from the creation. No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm telling you, beloved, if you go into Genesis chapter number 8 and Genesis 1 and 2 and 3, He's creating. But in Genesis chapter number 8, I'm telling you, beloved, it grieved God at His heart that He had even made man. And, beloved, judgment came upon the world. And I'm telling you, beloved, I were feeling foolish in that day. I believe with all of my heart, if they were close enough to the ark, they took off running. I believe they beat on the door. I believe they were all of a sudden realizing the old man's not foolish. Amen. There was a disregard for God's man. Amen. That I believe it was too late. You say, why? Because Noah didn't shut the door. God did. And let me tell you, who's going to shut the door on this generation? It's not a pastor. It's not a preacher. Amen. But it's the God of heaven. Amen. That's going to decide when it's time to shut the door. He's going to open the door for the church. And the church is going to disappear. And beloved, He's going to shut the door on those that's heard the gospel and disregarded and scoffed at the coming of the Lord. There was not only a disregard for God's man, but there was a disregard for God's message. Look in verse number 5. The Bible said here, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, by the word of God. The heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth..." Listen to me. Get a hold of this, would you? The same word that brought judgment in that day, the day of Noah, is the same word that's holding it all together today. Honey, it ain't going to fall apart till God said it's time to fall apart. By Him all things consist. Amen. I'm telling you, He's holding it. The Bible said, "By the same word are kept in store, reserved, not water the next time." God, when He put a rainbow in the clouds, He said, I'll never do this again. I'll never destroy the earth with water again. But I'm telling you, there's a fire coming where the Bible said the earth will melt with fervent heat. And I believe with all of my heart, God is saying, beloved, the fools are those that disregard God's man. They're those that disregard God's message. God said judgment's coming, kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Brother Jason, when he stood here a while ago, he said, "I deserve hell." You know what he's saying? I deserve judgment. You know what? Every one of us deserve judgment. Amen. But thank God there's a way to escape judgment. You know what the way for Noah was? Mind God. Believe God. Amen. Get started building that boat, boy. Amen. Isn't it something that modern shipbuilders still build ships to the same proportion as the ark? Think about that for just a moment. In other words, way back yonder, God knew what would float before there was an ever engineer to build a ship. Say amen. God knew what would float. Amen. And I want you to know today, beloved, God knows the only way out of judgment is to experience His mercy, experience His grace. So there was a disregard for God's message. But then let me give you this. Thirdly, the fools at His coming. Not only a disregard for God's man and a disregard for God's message, but there was a disregard for God's mercy. Do you know who mercy is offered to? Listen to me carefully. Everyone. Listen, I'm not a Calvinist or a hyper-Calvinist. I believe for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe what the Bible said right here. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe what John the Baptist said when he said, "This is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." You say, "Pastor, why do people, when Jesus comes again, why are there fools?" It's because they disregarded the mercy of God. God offered them mercy, but they said, "No, I don't want your mercy. I don't want your grace. I don't want your salvation." And the Word of God tells us why. It said that men love darkness rather than light. These ladies stood here and sang about the day when God pulled them out of the darkness and put them in the light. Amen. And if you're saved this morning, you can say, "Hey, there was a time when I was blind, but now I see. There was a time when I was in darkness, but now I'm walking in the light." Amen. Beloved, there's the fact of His coming, and then there is the fools at His coming. In 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 20, let me read a verse over here. The Bible said, "Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah." You see, God was long-suffering. You say, "Pastor, how long did He suffer? How long did was He patient with that generation?" Listen to me. 120 years. That's how long Noah was a preacher of righteousness. In other words, beloved, the mercy was disregarded. It was offered, but disregarded. While the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved. And you know, the Bible said this, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." There's a comparison being made. There were fools in that day, and there were fools in our day, amen, that make fun of the Bible, make fun of the church, make fun of God's man, make fun of God's message, amen, and turn their back on God's mercy. I'll tell you, beloved, there's no hope for us outside of the mercy of God. Not only that, there's the fact of His coming, the fools at His coming. But I want to give you this thirdly, and I'm finished, and that is the faithful at His coming. The faithful at His coming. I thank God for people that are faithful, don't you? People that love the Lord. People, beloved, that are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Turn with me to 1 John chapter number 2 for just a moment. The Bible said in verse 28, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." This is kind of a silly little illustration, but it's one that fits my life, and I love to tell it. My dad had a Ford pickup truck. That was back in the days when me, being his son, could sit on the fender inside under the hood and watch my dad tune the truck up. Amen? Dad didn't even have a set of feeler gauges. He used the top of a book of matches to set the points. But he'd change the points, he'd change the plugs, he'd change the condenser, he'd change the rotor button, amen, and he'd change the plug wires probably about every 3 or 4 years, amen. My dad taught me when I was little, he said, "Son, don't ever pull all them wires off at the same time. Oh my goodness, I learned what the firing order was on a motor, and I learned where it was at on the intake. I said, heck with what Dad said. I jerked them all off there. That thing coughed and it belched, and I like to never got it straightened out. Amen. I'm telling you, it was all out of whack. I should have listened to Dad. How many's got a time in your life when you should have listened to Dad? Chris, I'm looking at you. Say amen. I know it's hard with Dad sitting on the same pew, but there was a time when you should have listened to him. Amen. I'm going to tell you this, beloved. Listen to me carefully. My dad had that old truck. It had a sound of its own. You say, Pastor, what was so special about it? My dad, he raised 6 children. We were poor. We didn't really know it, but we were. Amen. We had something to eat and we had a place to live. Well, Dad's exhaust pipe went out. Well, you didn't go down to the muffler shop and pay somebody to put an exhaust pipe on it. He just started up there close to the motor and put 1.5 inches galvanized pipe all the way to the back, straight through. Amen. Turned it up in the bed. And I don't know, I don't even remember how he done this. I don't know how you take a 6-cylinder that's only got 1 exhaust pipe and put 2 pipes up through the corner of the bed. He wired down in there somewhere, amen. But I'm telling you, it had a sound of its own. There'd be times my dad would leave me instructions. And he'd say, son, I want you to mow the grass when you get in from school. And there was times that I did exactly what my dad said to do when I got in from school. And I'm telling you, I was sitting on the front porch drinking a glass of tea, and I heard that truck coming a mile up the road. Amen. I could sit there and with confidence thanking God, I'm done. I've done what Daddy asked me to do. He'd come in and say, good job, son. Thank you, son. And my dad worked from daylight till dark, washed his face, ate some dinner, and went out and worked till 11 o'clock at night for another company. Amen. I'm just telling you, my dad loved his kids and he loved his family. Amen. But there were times I can remember, listen, I can remember going off and maybe playing tennis or riding bicycles or playing basketball with some of my buddies. And all of a sudden it dawned on me that the time had got away and Dad had asked me to do something and it wasn't done. And I'm telling you, I'm rushing and I'm trying to get the building unlocked and I'm trying to get the mower out. And I hear that exhaust pipe up the road. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, the look on my dad's face. My dad never spanked me or whooped me over stuff like that. He did other things. Don't you worry about that. Somebody said, you know the difference between a whooping and a whipping? Yeah, I know the difference. Amen. A whipping's 2 or 3 good licks. A whooping's 2 or 3 licks shy of eternity. Mama whipped me. Daddy whooped me. Amen. 4 times in my life, I ain't forgot a one of them. Amen. But I'm telling you, when my dad come in, the look of disappointment on his face, Brother Mark, when I knew I was supposed to do something, and all I had was a little job to do. Let me tell you something, beloved. Jesus is coming quicker than the exhaust pipe coming down the road in front of the high school. Amen. And beloved, either you're going to be standing there with confidence saying, thank God Almighty, I've been in the book. I've been on my knees. I've been burdened for sinners. I've been doing what you wanted me to do. Or you're going to be ashamed before Him at His coming. The faithful. The Word of God said several things right here quickly. Number one, the faithful. They're the ones that will be careful. The Bible said in this 1 John chapter number 3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we'll be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is. The Bible said, let every man that hath this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure. I believe the one that's looking for Jesus is one that will be careful. You talked about the fear of the Lord, Brother Jason, in Sunday school. The one that, beloved, wants their life to line up with this book. Amen. The one that loves Him enough to mind Him. And then in Philippians, look here with me please, just a moment. In Philippians chapter number 4, not only do we need to be careful, but I believe the Bible teaches this, that we need to be considerate. I believe it's a good thing, beloved, as we study the Word of God together, amen, that we understand in these days. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, this is Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, my joy and crown. He said, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He said, I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, which commend all also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Look at verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Jesus is coming. Not only do we need to be careful in our lives, but we need to be considerate in our lives as we wait upon Him to come. And then we need to be comforted. I'm not going to read all the Scripture, but the Bible said, beloved, over there in the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, wherefore comfort one another with these words. What are the words? It's talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for His own. And then, beloved, we need to be cheerful. You say, why? Because Philippians 3:21 says He's going to change our vile body and give us a body like unto His glorious body. I mean, if anybody on the earth ought to be happy, it ought to be God's people looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for His own. But then let me give you this. We need to be concerned. Beloved, if we really believe, I wonder, Brother Jason, I just wonder. I'm thinking now about Noah and Mrs. Noah and his children, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I wonder if they didn't know some people. I really believe it may have, I mean, God can do anything, but they may have been some helping Him build the boat. I believe they may have had buddies, amen, but just wouldn't believe the message, amen, that just would not believe that judgment was coming. And I wonder if they wasn't burdened for those, beloved, that were scoffing at the message, scoffing at the man of God, scoffing at the mercy. I just thought of this. God had a boat full of mercy. Amen. A boatload of mercy. Amen. All they had to do was get on the boat. We ought to be concerned, concerned for the lost, concerned for those that will be left behind when Jesus comes. I read this and I thought it was interesting. The word Maranatha is a Syriac word expression that means our Lord comes. It was used as a greeting in the early church. When believers gathered together or parted, they didn't say hello or goodbye, but they said Maranatha. If we had the same upward look today, it would revolutionize the church. Oh, that God's people had a deepening awareness of the imminent return of the Savior. While on the South Pole expedition, British explorer Sir Ernest Shackleton, he left a few men on Elephant Island, promising that he would return. Later, when he tried to go back, huge icebergs blocked the way. But suddenly, as if by a miracle, an avenue opened up in the ice and Shackleton was able to get through. His men, ready and waiting, quickly scrambled aboard. No sooner had the ship cleared the island than the ice crashed together behind them. Contemplating their narrow escape, the explorer said to his men, "It was fortunate that you were all packed up and ready to go." They replied, "We never gave up hope. Whenever the sea was clear of ice, we rolled up our sleeping bags and reminded each other, the boss may come today." Hallelujah. I'm telling you, beloved, I'm planning on a baptism next week. Planning on a great day with Brother Keith. Already got the mail for tonight in tonight's service. But I'm telling you, before any of that happens, the boss may come. The Savior of the world may step out on a cloud and say, "It's enough. Come up hither." Amen. I tell you, as we remember the coming of the Lord, beloved, it ought to thrill us. It ought to excite us. A November to remember. There's a man in yonder glory I have loved for many years. He has cleared my guilty conscience and banished all my fears. He is coming in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and no time will be allotted for you to utter one goodbye. No time to kiss the husband or embrace the loving wife if you are but united in the bonds of holy life. Are you ready, Christian? Ready for shout, trumpet, and voice? Will His coming make you tremble or cause you to rejoice? Are you walking, talking daily, telling Him your care? Do you live so close to heaven that a breath would take you there? My dad used to witness to people.
I've heard him do it many times. And he'd say to somebody, the breath you have in your chest is yours. The next one belongs to God. He can give it and he can take it. Amen. We never know, beloved, when we're leaving here. But we can know where we're going when we leave. I like what one old preacher said. He said, if I knew where I was going to be when I died, I wouldn't go there. Everybody wants to live. But only in Jesus can we live forever. Amen. Only in Jesus can we be ready for the coming of the Lord. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Thank you for being here this day. I thank God that this Bible teaches that He's coming. The question is, are you ready? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Beloved, if